Well, good morning. I trust that you're all well, or as well as can be, for each day the Lord gives us today. I just rejoice and hear all these testimonies. So we had a great Sunday school class this morning, too, amongst the adults. Just a good time of sharing, but also learning about sacrifice and how, really, that is important in our lives to do. And we'll maybe get to that a little bit later on. Blessed to be a blessing, you know. When you read this book, it starts off pretty bad, right? I mean, it's really kind of, Naomi was bitter, empty. But, but as time's going on, things are changing. And I just think of, what did we do? We're blessed. When we are followers of Christ, we are blessed to be a blessing. And I think when we were back in Thailand, Joy and I would go and visit people out in the villages, and we would eat together. But a lot of these people, they didn't really have that much money, all right? They were fairly poor. In fact, if you put them in our society, they would be the low of the low, pretty much. But they would always have food for us. And we would remember, if we could, stop by the market, a fresh market, and bring some fruit or sometimes some fish also to share. To bless them with how we've been blessed as well, but they always came up with even more. That's how I always remember the Thai people. They were so gracious, so open. No matter what their situation was, they would always come whenever you entered a house in the city, in the big city of Bangkok of 10 million, 15 million, or whatever it is now, to these little villages, they'd always come up with a cup of water. Here's your water. Because it's a hot country, right? you're sweating all the time, and you're going, yeah, I'll take that water. And kind of a joke amongst the missionaries, when we have missionary friends coming over, if they don't offer us water, we usually get after them, after a while. We just wait there like that, and they go, you didn't give us water. And they go, oh, no, like that. So it's just, what the Lord gives us. And what we understand, what he really does give us, and that would take a long time. But as in the story, we're seeing these floodgates, starting to open up now. God, he takes these little things. He takes these little Naomis who are broken. He takes these lives of new people who are just idol worshiper, who are godless, and he brings them into his kingdom. And he turns them into something more than they can ever be, because the blessings flow. And they are abundant. And they can't be measured at all. So you just look at the lives of these people, and it's just an amazing story. And we're looking more closely at Boaz, because he's the guy of standing, right? He's the man of standing. He's really the foreshadow of Christ. Have you thought about that? Just like we were talking this morning, these sacrifices that the Israelites would have to bring a bull or a goat or a sheep, to be sacrificed in their place. It had to be unblemished. It had to be perfect, and because it was a foreshadowing of our perfect once and for all sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So Boaz is a man of standing. He has been blessed. I don't know if he was born into it, or God just, as he was growing up, and God just saw his heart, and he walked closely with him, and God was just, God moved differently, a little bit differently back in Old Testament and New Testament times, because the Holy Spirit, when we received Christ, we got the Holy Spirit with us. They didn't have the Holy Spirit automatically, but I believe people like a Boaz did, because he just sought the Lord. You can see the blessings. But what would he do with the blessings? A lot of times we have blessings and we just sit there and we go like this. You ever read that story of the story of the great pearl of price, pearl of great price, and the guy digs a hole and he hides it. But God really doesn't want us to hide our blessings. He wants us to get out there and share them, because they're limitless, limitless. So what is Boaz going to do with his blessings? Let's pray before we continue on. Father, we just give this time to you as we get into your word, as we look at the life of Boaz, Lord, of Ruth, Naomi, Lord, and the blessings that you just release upon them, and how that can teach us how we can live and walk in a way that would bring honor and glory to you. Bless this time, pray. Bless these words, and that you will receive all the honor and glory in it. We pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So one thing, I just have to believe these things. You know, just looking at how Boaz starts, and he just says, there's a meal time. Here's this Moabitess, she's a widow, she's poor, she's, a foreigner, and yet he offers her to come over here. He just says, come over here, have some bread and dip it in wine vinegar. Well, that's really, reaching across big lines back then. You know, this is a foreigner, and he's a Jewish man. It's not seen very often that would happen, especially when he's the one who is the owner of the field. He should be going, ordering people around and doing this and that, and who's that? Get her out of my field. She's not an Israelite. That type of thing. No, but he's a very different man, a God-fearing man. And so what happens is, Boaz, I believe in his own experience, in his own walk with God, he knows these things. He knows he's been accepted into the family of God. He understood that it wasn't something that just because he was born an Israelite that he got to be in the family of God. I really believe that he knew there was more to it. There was an actual relationship with the Creator God. And in that, he knew what it was to be accepted, to be forgiven, to get a new life, to be empowered more than he could ever be on his own. And so you look at this scripture here, it says, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. I believe that he felt that. These words in the New Testament, I believe they are in the Old Testament. Same God, same Spirit moving amongst the people. He knew this. Positive of it, just the way he was living his life. He was a defender. I mean, it comes down to when she sat down with the harvester, he offered some grain. He just poured out the friendship, the love, the acceptance to her. She ate all she wanted and had some leftover. As she got up to glean, Boaz gave orders to his men. Listen to this. He's kind of telling his guys, when she goes out in the field, don't go out there telling these jokes. Don't make fun of her being a Moabite, a widow. Don't get down on her. No, he's defending her. Just like that song that we just sang, the Lord's love defends us. He's defending her. He's saying, hey, even if she gathers among the sheaves, don't embarrass her. Rather, pull out some stalks from her, from the bundles, and leave them for her to pick up, and don't rebuke her. So it's not just saying, the law says, well, they can glean around the edges of the field and things like that, right? But he's saying, just pick up this good stuff from the middle of the harvest, the best stuff, and just leave it down for her. See, he's blessing her as he has been blessed with that acceptance. He's accepting her. And this something here in Deuteronomy says he defends the cause of the fatherless and the widow and loves the alien, giving him food and clothing. And you are to love those who are aliens, for you yourselves were aliens in Egypt. You knew, Boaz knew the history of his forefathers. She's an alien. She's taking care of her, just like this big boy taking care of his quarterback. Right? He knows he has to take care of his quarterback. He's got this guy coming in and wants to knock him down. But he's putting himself right there. And that's what Boaz is doing. He's advocating. He's getting in, you know, he's standing in defense of this widow, this alien. That's what God does for us. We were living in darkness, a part of the world, lost. And he comes and defends our very soul through the love of Christ and that sacrifice that he made for us to save us, to accept us, to forgive us, to bring us into his family, and to take care of us, to defend us against the big bullies, namely Satan. And of course ourselves, our own pride gets in the way. It's amazing. All these things. Yeah, he did something really against the norm. He reached across the divide between a Jewish man and a foreign woman. Really weird that that would happen back then. Not too long ago, you know, this country was divided in color and race. Still is in some ways, but even more so. You can go down south, you know, and you would see, you know, separate bathrooms for the blacks, for the whites, you know, schools, all that stuff, busing, all that stuff, right? And a lot of times they were referring to that scripture in Deuteronomy 7. It says, do not intermarry with them, talking about the foreigners and, you know, living in that, going to be in a promised land that Israelites were going into. Don't intermarry with them. You know, it's kind of like you have to be separate from them. You can't be impure. You know, and it's kind of like they're taking that and saying, well, you can't mix with the races. You can't talk to them. You can't do this. Be in the same place. Can't be in the same restaurant or anything like that. And you know what? Ignorance and of the devil. Because when you read on the next verse there, in verse 4, excuse me. Is that my feet? It says, the reason why they weren't to intermarry wasn't because of a racial reason. It had nothing to do with color, ethnicity, nationality, language, anything like that. It had to do with what it says there in verse 4. What? They will turn your sons away from following me to serve other gods. That is why. So, you could have a white and a white person, you know, getting married, but if that one person is not a follower of Christ and the other one is, well, you're unevenly yoked, and now that comes right into that. That's what God's saying. No, 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 don't do that. Don't get unevenly yoked. And so it tears apart that thing that they use for apartheid and our own issues that we've had in this country. It's sad that they would even use scripture for that. Because it's just, if you really use your common sense, God is God. And if you look at this here, even in Acts 17:26, it says, from one man he made every nation of men. Nobody came down from another planet and started another race. No, it came from Adam and Eve. That they should inhabit the whole earth. To me, when I see different colors, I enjoy it. Just like flowers. And I see different colors and languages and ethnicities and nationalities of people. And just love and enjoy their culture. And, you know, like when we were in Thailand, just enjoying the people, so gracious and kind, even when we butcher their language. You know, you do that in the States and people will be going, oh, I don't want to listen to you anymore. You're hard to listen to. You know, I'm sure they talk to us behind our backs, but face to face, they are very gracious. Very gracious people. And if you want further studies, you go into Ephesians 2 on this and you hear what Christ did for us. You know what he did? He destroyed the dividing wall between the Gentile and the Jew, between the man and woman. Everything is done with. We are one in Christ alone. Boaz saw that. He saw Ruth not as a foreigner, but one of his own people, being a part of his family, a follower of God. That's who she was. That's why he was able to reach across, say, come and join us. You're accepted into this group here. Come and be blessed. See, the abundance that Boaz had, you know, experienced probably, I don't know how long in his life, but he knew where it really came from. He experienced it. I mean, he was a hardworking guy, most likely. Except a man of means, the material and spiritual blessings of God. He's got that. But his great-grandson said this, and I think he truly had the same heart. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and earth is yours. Ooh, don't you love that? That's his great-grandson saying that. Well, maybe he heard that from his dad heard it from his dad, and dad heard it from Boaz. It's amazing how that is. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights. This word of blessings flow. Boaz understood that. It wasn't hard for him to share, to bless Ruth, giving her more than she could glean herself, helping her out. To where, coming down here to verse 19, she went home. She left, and she left the fields, and she's carrying all this stuff that she gleaned, all the barley, and bringing it home. And her mother-in-law asked her, where did you glean today? Where did you work? Blessed is the man who took notice of you. Remember, she was looking for favor, right? And she found favor. And now she's continuing in that favor. And just the same thing for us, as we are stay on the path of God, and that he gives us through his word, through his spirit, you know, he blesses us. Though we go through rough times, the blessings don't change. They're there. We might not see them through all the stuff that we're going through as easily, but when we really slow down and think about it, and focus upon it, like we're saying this morning, when we really focus the thanksgiving and praise, even through scary, hard, difficult times, it helps turn everything away from ourselves and away from the circumstances, and it gets us back up to where we need to be in those times, and that's with God, focused upon him, where the blessings truly flow. The blessings, not just material blessings, but the spiritual riches that we have in Christ, everlasting life, an inheritance no one can take away from us. Can't measure it, because we don't even understand what it's going to be like when we're up in heaven with God, the new earth and the new heaven, and to be with him. It's going to be amazing. If, you know, Ruth even had a doggy bag. She couldn't eat enough all the food that he was giving her, and so he brought that back too to Naomi. Now she's being a blessing too, right? She was blessed, and she is being a blessing. So Boaz is blessed; he's blessing her. Ruth is being blessed, and he's blessing Naomi. And Naomi's going, "Whoa, I'm not bitter anymore. I'm not empty. I'm full. I'm getting full." I'm feeling loved, accepted, forgiven. Yeah, and you know what? He goes on. He just gives her all she needs. So, you know, everybody in this world, two things that we'd seek out is acceptance. You know, we want to be accepted, and significance. We want to know that we're worthwhile. You see what Boaz does? He said, you know, later on, he says, you know, then Ruth, the Moabitess, said, He even said to me, stay with my workers until they finish harvesting all my grain. He gave her a full-time job in the fields throughout the whole harvest. And so in that, she's able to get out there and harvest and get everything, you know, beat out the wheat and barley, whatever else they're harvesting there, and get all this food, bring it in. She had a job. She was feeling significant. She was accomplishing things, and she was able to share that goodness, the good news, with Naomi. Boy, that does a heart good when you give as well as when you've been receiving, right? You know, as the word says, it's better to give than to receive. Well, it goes, you know, it's kind of a, you know, with God, it kind of keeps going like this. you receive, and then you give. You receive and you give. And it just keeps on going. That's Boaz. That's Ruth. This guy here, he was one of these guys that was blessed. This guy, if you read the history of the Revolutionary War, this guy was truly a hero. I really believe God was, you know, just like Abraham Lincoln and Ulysses S. Grant and George Washington, I believe God put them in the right time at the right place. Without them, this country would not have been formed. Sorry, we'd be speaking with a little bit of an accent. More than what we do now. Right? You know, God blessed him, and he blessed. He stood firm. He led a ragtag group of men who were not clothed well and did not have much weapons. And through that, and through God's grace over in England, and that's really what won the war for them too, was those people going to bat for them in England. They were tired of this long war too, sending their sons out there and getting killed, maimed. And so it stopped. And now we're some of the best of friends, right? The U.S. and England have been pretty tight for many, many years. But God puts people in history, and if they follow, he blesses. He really blesses. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. That's what Boaz understood. He chose me. I didn't choose God. He chose me. And the same thing for us. We didn't choose Christ. He chose us. What a blessing that is. I don't know about you, but I've been in many schoolyard picks. And I said, and I'm not the biggest guy. Okay, I got a strong heart and I'm ready to go. But I'm not the biggest guy. And I'm not the most popular guy back then. And then when they did the schoolyard pick, they always kind of went past me until almost the end, or sometimes at the end. I'd still play and have a great time and stuff like that. But you always, But when you're chosen in a way that you feel like you're being chosen first, oh, what a blessing. Every one of us who has decided to follow Christ, yeah, you've been chosen first. First fruits of God, just like that. No, not the second or the third or the fourth. No, the best. The best of the first fruit. Each one of us. And so we can take that, and we can bless others in that with the first fruit of God. It's amazing. So how to be blessing? Well, we already understand it now, don't we? Just like Boaz, right? Understanding where the blessings come from. Yeah. Oh, have you forgotten? Well, remember where they come from. Being image bearers of Christ, that's who Boaz was. And Ruth wasn't that bad either. Getting out of her comfort zones, ooh, now you're getting scary. Because this other stuff, okay, but getting out of comfort zones, for Americans, I'm hitting low, below the belt. Kind of like a Mike Tyson punch, right below the belt. That hits me. It's hard. We are living our lives. We're going at it. We got everything. We got the schedules. We're, you know, moving, and we got these plans, and we're going to do this and that. And somebody, like we're discussing, I think it was Natasha or somebody, was talking about somebody who she saw an older man fall down, her and Ella. You know, when we're in our own worlds, we just kind of look at that, and we just kind of keep on going. But they ask a question, like, you know, are you all right? Do you need help? You know, get out of the comfort zone. Start looking around you and knowing that you live amongst other people. I do. You do. We need to open up our eyes and our hearts once again. We got to show what people, what the love of Christ, what community, what being chosen as a first fruit of God really is, that we can actually say thank you, that we can ask people, are they okay? You know, the cashier, you know, Walmart, you know, trying to deal with this, all this stuff that they're doing. Say something nice, encouraging to them. Bless them. Pray for them. You know, like I said, with these testimonies that we're talking about this morning, testify, and keep on going. Testify to the goodness and the blessings of Christ. People will hear. People you don't even know are listening will hear. And just like we're talking about Jade holding up that Bible, she's going to remember that when she gets older and older and older. They'll listen. They'll remember those words. Oh, God was her strength. He helped her in that time. Helped this family through tough times. Who is this God? Ruth. To Naomi. Who is this God? And Naomi must have told her all these stories and all the things that God has done throughout the history of the Israelites. And she prayed and she praised and she sang. And Ruth said, oh, I can't let you go, Naomi. I got to go with you. I got to go with you to this promised land. Your God is my God now. Acceptance. Abundance that we can give in many ways, and not just with finances, but that's one way, of time, of prayer. Providing opportunities, giving people opportunities to build them up, where they gain significance, share in the leadership. All that is building body of Christ and building others up so they can come to know Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. It comes down to this, dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. That is the challenge. So easy to talk, but to put it in action is a little bit harder. But that's the challenge, and that's where we have to ask the Lord. We have to ask the Holy Spirit to move us in a way that we will put these truths into action in our daily lives. And remember that, step by step. Let's pray. Father God, we praise you and thank you for your great love and the hope that we have in you. The words of this book, Lord, that was written. And it was David, they say, that wrote it. Because he heard the stories of his great-grandpa and great-grandma. He had to share it. Because it's not only just a blessing to him, but it's a blessing even to all of us down in present day, the church of Christ, that we can go and be like a Boaz, and be like a Ruth, and be a blessing. Blessed to be a blessing. May you empower us and guide us in that, Father. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. And all of his people say, amen.